done good. I know you can't drive no more, Bill, but if y'all ever get your you get together and go out and start singing, just let me know, and I'll drive the van or the bus or whatever y'all can have.
Okay, we'll leave that
to service. All right. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Which way are we going?
Okay. We can go down to that place on side of 58.
What's that?
Oh, Faith Baptist Church.
Yeah, that's it.
That's where God, you know, that's where God visits every week. And I think, you know, if we go there now, I think we'll have a good time. I really do. I think we'll have a good time in the Lord, I tell you. Because He is good to us, isn't He? All right. If you will, tonight, turn to the book of Psalms, 107. 107. This right here is speaking of what I'm going to be speaking about tonight, really, is about life. And it's about the journey that we're on. In the voyage that we're taking, and who we're taking it with, and who we're depending on. But Psalms 107 and verse 30 says this: Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto the desire haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembling of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness. For the wilderness of them that dwell therein, he turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into a water spring. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitations, and sow the field and plant the vineyard, which may yield fruit of increase. He blessed them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffered not their cattle to the deceased. He poureth contempt upon the princes, and causes them to wander into the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. Verse 42, the righteousness shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop his mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Verse chapter 107 and verse 1 says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, when he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the land from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found the city, no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, thy soul fainteth in them. Verse 9 it says, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. We see right here where the psalmist David, and we see right here where the Israelites, they started out on a voyage one day, and where they was headed to, they was headed to the promised land. They was headed to the land where they knew it would be milk and honey. They knew it would be a place of where the wilderness itself had turned into waters. It would turn into oceans. But then it would have other dry ground there that would turn into spring water. Now what that is speaking of, the spring water there, is speaking of the water that was there before he created the earth. The water was there. Now the earth has come about, and the water is up under the earth itself. That's where we get our drinking water today. That's where we get our spring water from. That is where we get our nourishment from, is from below, from up under the earth. And some people say, oh, okay, preacher, now you're talking about that hell ain't as bad as you say it is it? No, I ain't saying that now. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying right here, the psalmist David, what he's telling people is that you can have the inheritance that God Almighty has for you and for me. That we could have the inheritance that he had wanted us to have always back to the beginning of time. Even back before then, he was thinking about all of what he was going to give his people. You know, we think that we just come on the scene in the book of Genesis. We think the water. We think of the sun. We think of the moon. We think of the stars. That all of that come into existence in the book of Genesis. It was already in existence. It was already in existence. Well, see, no one was looking at it. No one could see it. Why? Because there was no one else on earth. There was no one else that could see the handiwork of God before time began. And people say, well, when did it become time? When did it first take place? You have to ask God that. God says it took place when the first thought come to my mind. So it comes to place where it has always been on God's mind. and even before the Father, and before the Son, and before the Holy Spirit. And we know that all three of them was one. We know that all three of them was there together. But before man was ever created, before man was ever thought of through the things of the Lord, what he did, he started thinking about the creation and the way he was going to create things. He was going to, what was going to be the first creation? What was going to be the first come up and everything, talking about the trees and the fowls of the air and all of that, and what's in the oceans and all that, and water, and the sun and the moon and the stars, what all come into existence. Where did it come into existence? And what form did? And when? It come in a condition, into play when God first thought of man. Because all of that had to be done. And all that had to be foreknowledge of. And we know that foreknowledge, and we know predestination is the same thing. And we know that from the beginning of time, even before the first fowls of the air was met, even before the second verse ever come about, when it was a void there, it said it was a void there. And it was chaos going on. No, it wasn't no chaos going on. The only chaos that was going on was the chaos that Satan was talking about. What Satan would be doing. He was the chaos. But it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We need to allow Jesus Christ on this journey and on this voyage that we are taking place across this land and across this country. We are need and we are not, we need and we need to allow the Lord Jesus to be the captain. He don't need to be the co-pilot. He is the pilot. He is the one that takes the hand and puts it upon the wheel. He's the one that takes and turns the wheel in the way it wants to go. Have you ever been in an automobile and then you get to thinking and you get to thinking about the things of God and how good God's been to you and everything? And you have your mind set on the place that you're going to. But then, sometimes when you're thinking about the things of God, you come right back to the point of saying, how did I get here? I wasn't going here. I was going on down the road. Have you ever went to a place that you didn't have no idea that you was going to even stop at? I have. You have too. We all have. Why? Because we're so caught up with the Father. We're so caught up with the Spirit of God that we're allowing Him to speak to us. And we're allowing the Holy Ghost of God and teaching us and meditating to us in the things that we need to say when we get to our destination. Sometimes that God will allow us to make a detour to get to our destination. And yes, it'll take a little longer to get to our destination. But as God allows that detour to come by, He allows it for a reason. He allows it for the extra time that we can have with Him. And we can meditate over His precious word. We can meditate over what He's done for us. We can meditate on the things that He's allowed to come to pass in our life. You know, we may not have the very best of this world. We may not have plenty of money. We may not have all the frills. But one thing that we can honestly say that we have, that I can say personally, that I know that I have, and I have the Lord Jesus Christ living within me, and He speaks to me. He talks to me. He leads me. He guides me. He directs my path every day. And I could not go a day, I could not go a minute without Him. But sometimes I get to thinking, Lord, how many times during the day that you can say, I just don't want to walk with Him right now. And the reason He'll say that is because we're not doing what He wants us to do. We have the Holy Spirit that is among us. He's the one that has that great big compass in sight, to where when we look and we see and we understand the direction that God wants us to go, we'll look at that compass, which is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will lead us to the right place. I will not lead nobody to the right place. I will always lead other people in a different direction than God wants me to take them in, He wants them to go. But that's not right. That's not right. I need to look at that compass, just like when we're in the automobile. And we have them gauges there. We have the gauges there for a reason. You have the speedometer right there. It tells us what speed we're going at. And then we have the RPMs there. And it comes up. And it tells us how fast and how much energy that the automobile is giving out. And then we have the gauge for the battery. It tells us how much amperage the battery's got and how far it's coming, if it's going to be good or if it's going to be weak. We can crank it up now and we can drive it home, and then we can turn right back around within 10 minutes and go to the store or go somewhere else, and we can get out there in the automobile. It won't start. The gauges mean something. Just like all the instruments that is on that ship and on that voyage where we are on. Yeah. Who's the captain of the ship? It ain't me. It's God Almighty. He's the captain of the ship. And the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, He's the one that commands the group of people and what they need to do on the ship to get the ship out in the water and get it going just right. Lord Jesus Christ, He takes control of the engine. He takes control of the ship. Make sure it's going in the right direction.
Make sure that it's up to par. Then we have the Holy Spirit, which is the compass. We can get out on the ocean. We can drive here to Norfolk. And we could get out there on a ship. By ourselves or with 30, 40, maybe 100 people on it. But as we get on that ship, and as we start out on the voyage, and on the journey that we're going to take, the captain of the ship will make sure the compass is working properly. Like the Holy Spirit will make sure that what we do for the God Almighty is we're doing it correctly, and we're doing things correctly according to God's Word. We're not doing it our way. We're not doing it your way. We're not doing it somebody else's way, but we're doing it God's way. Because as long as we do it God's way, then it doesn't make no difference what happens or what anything goes. We're going to make it through. That's the only way that I'm ever going to make it to heaven. It's through God. You say, ain't you saved? Yeah, I sure am. I'm saved. I've been redeemed. And I'm sealed until the day of redemption. And that seal will not be broken. Satan cannot break that seal. He cannot do anything to me unless God permits it. But yet, in thinking about it, God permits things to happen in our lives to strengthen our faith, to strengthen the church, to strengthen the individual church that makes up the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. We need to be satisfied with the direction that we're going in. We need to be satisfied. Why? Because we have God the mind, God Almighty. He's the captain. Then we have our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that guides and directs the ship. And then we have the Holy Spirit that is with the individuals that's upon the ship, to give them the strength and the willpower and give them the knowledge to be able to go out here and take that cable and wind the cable in, like the staff and everything. See, back then they used a ship. It had the flag on it. They had that, and they directed the ship by the staff, by that flag that was waving in the sky. That's how they directed it. But now they don't direct it that way no more. They directed this now by a compass. They can tell you if it's north, south, east, or west, and east-west. It can tell you right to the pinpoint where we're at on the ocean. And when we get in trouble, when the ship gets in trouble, and yes, the ship does get in trouble at times. We get in trouble. At times. And when we get in trouble, we have to call on the master. We have to call on the captain. We have to call on the one that has the chart laid out and set out for us.
then we have the compass. And then we have the faith. Then the last one, take the hope. Who is our hope in? Is my hope in Faith Baptist Church? Is my hope in the people here at the church? Am I depending on me staying here, depending on the people? Or who am I depending on? I'm depending on one individual to do everything he can for me and look after me and direct me and guide me. And that is hope. And then we'll pull up. We'll take the old ship and we'll pull up to the docks there, to where we'll allow the families and the people to get off of the ship and go into town and get what they have to get for the rest of the journey. The food that they have to get. And as they are on that journey, and when they pulled up to the dock, you think they just pulled up to the dock and then the ship just sat there. The ship didn't move. Oh, yes, it did too. The ship would move unless it was something else holding it down, and that was the anchor. That was the anchor, which is a hope we have as an anchor to our soul, both that can help us and guide us and direct us. In Hebrews 6:19 says this, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. We're speaking about the veil this morning. The veil has to go up on the ship when it sails. But when they come into port, when they come in to where the people can get off, then what they'll do, they'll take the cable and they'll draw that sail in. And they'll inspect the sail. If his sail has been beaten, had been worn by the wind and the storms that they've been through. And if it hasn't, then the people can come back, get on the ship, and then start out for the journey. They still have to depend on God the Father. They still have to depend on God the Son. They still have to depend on the Holy Spirit of God. They have to depend on none other than the anchor that holds us fast. You see where in the New Testament, where Peter's talking about, where we're anchored, the church is anchored. Where is the church anchored? The church is anchored on the four corners. What is the church anchored in? In God Almighty. What is the church anchored on? It's anchored on the Word of God. What are we anchored on? As we are in the church, as we come here and gather to worship the God Almighty. Who are we anchored in? And who are we anchored to? In hope. In hope. And that's not speaking of hope so salvation. That's not speaking of a maybe so salvation. That is speaking of what we must put our hope into. We must put our hope in God the Father, and God the Son. That's what we put our hope in. We need to just really think about some things that what we're trying to do. Are we trying to do it to promote ourselves? Are we trying to do it to promote each and every one of us together? Are we trying to do it to promote this church up? No. What we're doing, trying our very best to put our trust in God. To put our trust in God and allow Him to be the one that we look to for our strength and for our help. Now, Father, we want to thank You for today. Lord Jesus, we want to thank You, Father, for that ship. That, Lord, yes, the times we have got on. And sometimes, Father, that we've got off of the ship early before we really got to our destination. And now, Father, I pray that You'll go with us tonight. Go with us this week. Father, help us, Lord, that we may think that You may allow somebody to be placed upon our heart. That yes, that we can pray for them. And yes, and we can send out one of them cards. And just telling them that we just remember them in prayer. We never know what may happen. Because, Father, there is power in prayer. Lord, I pray for Sister Nancy. She's working. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts. Speak to the people that, Lord, that You will allow us to have contact with this week. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for what You're going to do in our lives. And Lord, we know that Satan, he's trying his very best to tear down the church. He's trying his very best to tear me down. Lord, he's doing his very best to try to get me to follow him, Lord. And Lord Jesus, I just ask You once again, right now, Father, cleanse my soul with Thy blood. Father, I'm not asking You to cleanse it for salvation because I know that I'm saved, but I just want You to cleanse it. Once again, from the sin that Satan has grabbed a hold of me. Father, not just I, but Lord Jesus, as we meet back here this coming Wednesday evening, Father. Father, would You allow someone else just to come in and just tell us that they just come by to visit. And Lord, we never know. We never know, Father, who it may be. It may be that next soul. It may be the last one that You have in to come in. Oh, Father, it would be great. It would be wonderful if You'd just come back after the church, Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray, if You come to get me and You to take me away, Father, I'm asking for You to grant me, Father, where I can be right here, where I can be praising Your name and lifting You up. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. We're going to sing a